Kia ora, and welcome to Ghost Stories Aotearoa. I'm your host, Lisette Prende, fantasy author, actor, tarot reader, and self-confessed ghost obsessive. I believe there's a thin veil between the worlds of the living and the dead. And sometimes, the veil slips and the dead peek through. Have you ever seen a ghost? Have you ever seen something you can't explain? Something that made the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Something that kept you up at night? Well, our guests have. So, keep listening, if you dare. Today's story comes from Genevieve. For as long as she can remember, she's always been able to do something that most of us can't. She can see dead people.
Always as a kid, I would see dark shadows at night or people calling my name and looking for them. Because I think it maybe was my parents. So it's always been something that I've had that I could see or hear. Shadows or full, like they look like people and I can't tell the difference. When I was about 9 or 10, I was playing like make-believe dolls like in my family room, and I saw a man in my house that shouldn't have been there, and he was dated, like he was a period kind of piece. He looked like, you know, he was maybe from the 1800s. And I yelled and went, "Hey, what are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be here." And he just smiled at me and then walked downstairs. And I chased after him because I thought like somebody had broken into my house, and then he was gone. And that's when I was like, okay, I see ghosts. I just remember it always happening, from when I was a little kid. So I've just always, like, lived with it. And certain times in my life, like, I saw and heard more than others. So, yeah, it's always happened and just live with it. And there are always people from a certain period in time. So they're always really dated. So I'll either see them clear as day, as if, like, I'm seeing you right now, or I will see them kind of as a like pastel colors, or I'll see a shadow, or I'll hear them. So either speaking or they're moving around the house and I know that they're here. So it can be a range of situations. I have one side of my family, they do see ghosts. So there's quite a few of us, but no one talks about it. It's just what it is, and we just kind of move on with our lives, so. I've lived in a haunted house before, like where there was one spirit that was their home and they were there. And I cohabit with them and we're cool with it. I set boundaries and like, they're definitely there. And by the time I'm usually gone, like I figure out their name and when they passed on and why they're still here. So I can either live in a house that has a spirit there, that's their home shop, which is cool as long as they don't do anything bad, or they come and go, so I'll see them. So here in New Zealand, I think the hardest part was I have seen Maori spirits and also some Chinese immigrants. The startling thing for me was the language. Yeah, because where I'm from, everybody speaks English, so all the spirits I encountered spoke English. But here there's ones that I've encountered that speak different languages, and sometimes I'm not sure what language it is, and you know, then you can't really communicate to kind of set some boundaries with them.
And it never really scares you? You've never had a situation where you've been frightened by their presence?
So nothing's more terrifying than having a woman yell at you in what you assume is Mandarin. You're not 100% sure. Working with spirits like that, like, you can't really get rid of them. They can't understand you, so you can't get this middle ground unless you looked up words. And who knows, even then it's a guess. I've seen them in Wellington. So I live in Newtown, and I will see a variety of like immigrants and just spirits and restless souls, because like Newtown wasn't always what it was. It's had quite a diverse history. So oftentimes they'll know that I can see them, so they'll follow me home because they just are really lonely and sad. And oftentimes I'll just let them, they can cohabit in my house, but the minute they start like knocking things over or I can't find something, that's when I draw the line and I kick them out.
Fair enough. So has these, yeah. So these spirits actually like follow you, like you'll just be walking down the street and they will just be walking with you or following you?
Yeah. They're all over the place all the time. So it's not a big deal. I think they're just really lonely and want to be heard. They're here because they can't pass on for whatever reason. And a lot of it's probably their own obstacles. There are some ones that have really scared me. I've had things like thrown at me, and have hit me. I've never been marked, but my roommate used to get marks all the time. And like sometimes, you know, they're really active. Like I said, you know, I'll hear something like fall and break in the kitchen, you know, or you'll hear something moving around your house. Yeah, I mean, some of them are just horrible. People just like humans are horrible. And there are bad ones out there, just like there's bad humans, you know.
So mm-hmm. when you was talking about living in the haunted house, was that in New Zealand or was that overseas or?
I did live in a house that wasn't particularly haunted. Where it was in Johnsonville, and it was on the Old Coach Road. And so the Old Coach Road was a way that, you know, travelers would go back and forth. So oftentimes, like, I would see travelers coming into the house, and I saw two more frequently than others. Like, a lot of times I'd just see ones, but there was an old man, you know, no family. He just was always kind of hanging around the house. I think it's because he knew that I was cool with him, maybe. And then there was about a 9-year-old boy who was also a traveler, and you know, they were all in period kind of clothing, like, you know, 1800s. So it's the location that's haunted, not necessarily the house. It was on the road, like the house got built on the road, so that road probably, you know, people passed away on that road, people set up tents on that road. So it's not particularly the house, it's more of the location.
We sort of have this belief like, oh, haunted houses are houses, but it's actually more about the land, and especially in New Zealand where a lot of the houses are relatively new, we don't have as many really old homesteads, and so it does seem to be a lot of the time that the spirits are tied to the land where they have the memory.
I actually I stayed at a Airbnb in Napier a couple years ago, and the house was extremely haunted. I couldn't sleep there. I wasn't able to sleep on that vacation, and I wouldn't go into the back cellar area by myself because my little boy was just crying the whole time. And that was the worst probably experience I'd had in a house in New Zealand. And my husband's really the only one that knows. But my husband, like, he even felt off about the house. That was probably the worst house I'd ever been in, because I just felt there was so much pain in that house and other things that happened in that house. But, you know, I'd go to the kitchen for a cup of tea, and he's sitting there just crying, and he wants me to help him. And, the bathroom was back there, and it was really unnerving, and there's just so much pain. And there were some other spirits there that I saw, and there was a woman there that was really aggressive. So that was probably the one house that I'm just like, this is there needs a blessing to happen in here.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, maybe that's why it's an Airbnb and people don't live there full time.
Honestly, the people that own it raved it about the house and loved it so much. So, yeah, but then again, not everyone can see spirits. My husband can't see anything nor feels anything. So it's not, you know, some people can live perfectly fine lives.
So how do you, once you've gone through an experience like that, what do you do to kind of get out of that feeling?
I pray and use holy water. I'm Catholic, so I rely heavily on my religion.
And does that sort of help that those feelings pass?
It's not necessarily a feeling. Like, I mean, I know what's there, and the minute I'm out of that situation, it's gone. I don't carry any feelings of any of the spirits around me. Their feelings don't linger with me. Just like if I see my friend and they're really happy, you know, I might feel happy after. Yeah, I don't know. They don't linger on. It's just like a normal person.
Interesting. Okay. Because I find that while I don't see and hear things, I'll feel energies in a space, and then I'll be like, kind of, they'll stay with me for a really long time, and it'll be quite a task to like shake the energy off of a weird space. So
I don't feel that at all. So I don't have that at all. But everybody is different. I know people though that feel energies of spaces and. Yeah, but for me, that's not the case, so. When I was living back home, there was an apartment there. It was a really, really old apartment complex. And when I mean old, it was built like in the early 1800s, and it was like a working kind of house. Wow. It was really, really old. It was gorgeous, and it was definitely haunted. There was a female spirit in my apartment, but she was fine. She never bothered me. She was able to be there. But down below, there was just like in my neighbor's apartment, who I was friends with, there was a horrible spirit. And, you know, even people I didn't believe, you know, all of a sudden they believe because doors would get slammed in their face. I was locked in the bathroom twice when I was there once for, you know, maybe some dinner party. And the funny thing is that they don't have a lock on the door.
What? So you went in and then couldn't open the door?
Yeah, their alarm, and the guys that live there, like their alarms were always going off at weird times. Also, when I was there, I was doing dishes, and when I walked away, the chandelier that was above the sink fell.
Ooh.
And it could have like fallen on me. And like the other guys just had horrible experiences. They'd get marked up, and things would get thrown. They'd see things move. And so I actually, you know, at one point in time, I just was like, I'm not coming to this house because it could follow me. That's my apartment. And it just was crazy. And honestly, it's an ongoing joke. Even the landlord's is like, this is the haunted apartment. If you want it, you're going to have like something evil happen. There's something evil here. TVs were turning on. Radios were turning on. Your phone would start ringing. Like always something weird was happening in that apartment. Yeah, they lived with it. Spirits are the same way as people. Today, you will see someone, you might see someone, and no matter how they look, like you'll get a vibe, like, I think you're up to no good, or I feel like you're maybe not a good person. And spirits are the same way. You'll just kind of get a vibe and be like, I don't know. If spirits are like harming or locking people in bathrooms or doing that sort of thing, that's not nice.
And have you ever kind of encountered a spirit that's really friendly and you kind of enjoy their company and you're just like, you can hang out with me?
If one's been in the house and they don't cause any like harm, then I just let them stay there. But I wouldn't say I enjoy their company. I don't enjoy any of the company, to be honest. I would prefer not to see any spirits, to be frank. It makes life more complicated, and life's really complicated as it is. And it's just an added layer, and there's no benefit in seeing them. It adds no value to my life. It doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me contribute more to my community. It just is an added layer of complexity that, you know, life's very complex as it is. So I'd prefer not to be able to see any of them.
Really? Does it give you any kind of sort of hope or peace about the afterlife or anything like that?
No, I'm Catholic, so I have some beliefs about the afterlife, and I know there's something after this, and I hope I end up going, if it's good or bad or whatever, or indifferent, I hope I end up where I'm supposed to, but it doesn't give me any peace for the afterlife, because most of the ghosts that are here, they haven't moved on to the afterlife. So it just makes me kind of sad that people are just maybe still here. But some people, they want to stay here because they're here. They have a mission to stay. So if that's the case, then good for those ghosts. Well, I mean, I don't really think being a spirit or a ghost is a fun option. I think it's really horrible. You have to see all your loved ones move on. And then sometimes you're here because there's unfinished business. So, you know, when I was in Napier and I saw that boy crying, how many years is he just going to cry? That's horrible. Yeah, that's why, you know, there's no spirits or anything that make me feel like I want to hang out with them. They're here because there's something going on. You know, they got issues just like people do, you know?
They wouldn't be spirits if they didn't have issues.
Yeah, they got some problems that they need to work out. Some are just like stuck in almost a loophole, it looks like, but yeah. I don't know. I don't speak to a lot of them anymore. I did when I was a kid because I was really confused. I don't talk to them anymore, so.
What kind of things did you say to them when you were younger?
Just, you know, hi, and who are you, or are you okay? And sometimes they'd talk back and sometimes they wouldn't. And then I'd be like, okay, you need to leave now. You're scaring me. And they'd go, okay. And then I'd close my eyes and they'd disappear.
So did you ever get any interesting answers when you said, what do you want?
No. I always got like, I don't know. Or a shrug of the shoulder. And that's why I think that a lot of them will follow me. Because they know that I can see them. And they just may, I think they want, they're alone. So they're just kind of stuck in this world and they're very lonely.
Have you ever felt curious to kind of figure out any of their stories, like kind of get into a detective mode? And
when I was younger, probably, but no, not at all. Just because there's nothing I can do for them.
So you haven't pursued that kind of realm of like, oh, what could I do to help them move on? Or like a lot of, you know, people that have the sight tend to go into that kind of spiritualist realm of like, how can I sort of communicate, you know, and talk to them? That's not really something you've been interested in or called to do?
No, not at all. Only because, well, the big reason is that if you open up to that and you, that becomes like your mission, you start doing that, you're opening up to a lot of stuff, the unknown. And like I said before, this having this ability is not adding any value to my life. It's something I have. And I don't really feel the need to try and figure it out, especially when in the world we live in today, there are so many people that need help.
Human so living people.
I focus on helping the living. And also, like I said, you know, if you open up that kind of realm, you're opening up a big can of worms, and I don't know what's out there, just like you stated. Mm. You're not particularly sure what's out there either, and, you know, I like to focus on the living and helping them out.
Yeah, totally. And I guess if it's one of those things where, you know, they're suddenly, they're like, hey, she's listening, she's talking to us, they'll all start coming. Yeah, you don't want to kind of send the call
out. And that's been the case in the past. And that's when you get a lot of bad with the good. When it has happened, it's a lot of bad with good, and it just makes life, the living, more difficult for me. Living a life and helping the living, not the dead, helping people, the living, and contributing to my community, it makes things so much harder for me. With COVID, we all were supposed to be simplifying our lives, so I'm trying to simplify my life and keep it simplified. So
yeah, I understand.
But I do, people that decide to go down that route of helping the spirits and doing that, you know, kudos to them, more power to them. I have absolutely no judgment on them whatsoever. It's just not for me.
So do you ever get people at parties being like, hey, can you call in my dead relative, or can you do this or that?
Yeah, but that's not how mine works. At the moment, like, I can't call people in. Maybe if I worked on my ability, I could, but I'm not interested in that. So yeah. People just tend to find me. But if I'm in somebody's house who some loved ones have passed on, I can see them if they're still there. And I'll let them know, like, they're still here and they're really proud of you. And sometimes those loved ones move on, or sometimes they're not proud of the person, and I just don't say the nasty things that they're saying because it's not going to help anyone. Not many people know that I have this ability. It's not something that I advertise at all. If it comes up, I'll be like, yeah, I can see them. No big deal. But I mean, it isn't, yeah, it's not something that you really advertise. Just like maybe you don't advertise that you're you like pickling stuff, you know, or you're a secret knitter. You're not running around telling the world that you knit everything. But most people that do know, they're really respectful of the fact that I can. So, and there's a lot of people out there that don't believe me. And I'm completely fine with that, because to be honest, I would gladly give them my ability, and then they can deal with all the stuff I have to deal with. So I'm always like, you don't have to believe that in what I'm saying. I'm gonna tell you right now, my life's more complicated because of it, and I would happily give it to you. I'd give it all up and give it to you, and you could deal with it. I don't really care if people believe me or not, because I have to live this way, you know, like there's some things that I have to do. So I'm like, that's fine. You don't have to believe me. Don't really care what you think. I don't believe that you scored 4 tries when you were 18. You had a big gut then. That didn't happen either. You don't have to believe everything you hear. It's very sporadic. Yeah, sometimes I'll see several. Sometimes I'll see none. You know, it depends on where I'm going, or it's very random. It's always been sporadic my whole life. So, and right now I'm not in a house where a spirit inhabits. So I usually will only see them if they follow me. Yeah, or you know, go into a friend's house or an Airbnb, or, you know.
Yeah, that must be quite nice, having a quiet house for the time being.
I really enjoy it, because like I said, you know, my biggest thing is I don't mind that they're here, but I can hear them moving around. And so I think that someone's broken in my house. It's very annoying. Yeah, very, very annoying. I walk around the house with my metal bat or my sorority paddle, just like I would if someone broke in. So because if someone broke in, I would attack them first, and then I would call the police. They're on my property.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, totally.
I mean, I have the phone in my hand ready to press 111, but yeah, I look first. Yeah, because I do know that I can hear spirits moving around my house. So usually when that's happened, that's when I bless my house and I kick out the spirit and they're not welcome anymore.
Wow. And did they listen to that? They're just like, okay.
Yes, they do. So because I use holy water to bless my house and I say lots of prayers and I have luckily not had one fight yet. So they all leave. Not particularly happy, but they do. And they don't come back.
So how do you get holy water from your church?
I get holy, yeah. I mean, I use holy water all the time, just like most, I guess, Catholics will have some holy water for praying. That's, I have it too, because I am Catholic. So yeah, it's just something that you just ask for, you know, from your parish and say, can I have some holy water? And you use it to pray, so you can use it to bless your house too.
So you can just flick it around and you're doing your prayer. You walk around your house. Yeah. It's like a similar.
Yeah. Just thing. Say a couple Hail Marys, or if you got a particular prayer to a saint you like to pray, or you can say like some guardian angel, you know, all the prayers that all of us Catholics were brought up praying, you know, you just kind of pray those. And for me, I talk to either a saint, Mary, or God, you know, because that's what we do in the Catholic religion. But I'm sure that other people who have the same ability as me, they probably used to do something else. And
probably
works for them.
I've used sage and Palo Santo and other things with similar intentions. And so, yeah, it's just that cleansing. Yeah, it's interesting that they're quite compliant. The spirits are just like, yep, okay. We don't want to cause trouble. Like, I guess any person would be if you said, can you please leave my house?
Yeah, most of the time I ask for them to leave, but if there's resistance, like, then that'll be a problem. But also, sometimes I'll let the spirit stay because they're not doing anything. They just want to chill, and that's fine, as long as they don't bother me.
Yeah.
Hang out. And then they go on their own.
They go on their own. Okay. So what kind of time period normally if you just let them do it themselves?
Yeah, it depends. Maybe anywhere from just like a few hours to a couple of days to a week or two.
Oh, wow. And then eventually they'll just be like, okay, I'm going now.
I'm really not an interesting human being, so I don't think they would like to hang out at my house for longer than like a day or two.
You're like, oh, you want to play a puzzle?
Yeah, I'm not that interesting, so that's why they're not sticking around.
Wow.
Yeah.
So amazing. It's interesting for me because I've always been so interested in spirits and ghosts and always kind of wanted to be able to see them. So I'm just like, wow, that's amazing. But then again,
we could trade.
But yeah, you don't know, you know, what you've got. Be careful what you wish for, kind of, is what I mean. Like, you know, I could be saying, oh, that'd be so cool. But at the same time, I'm an introvert. I'm a recluse. So yeah, it might not work that well for me in theory, you know.
And I guess even when not just with the ability I have, but like, when you look at your neighbor, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. So you might be like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have that? But actually, like, it comes with a lot of stuff that you're not seeing. Nothing's like you're coming home from a hard day of work and you're trying to climb the corporate ladder. And then you see a man in your house speaking in a language you don't know. You're like, oh my gosh, I just wanted to come home and microwave my dinner. This is the last thing I needed.
I don't have the headspace for this right now. Just go.
I know. You're like, I turned down my spin class because I did not have the headspace for it. Now I got this in my kitchen. Are you kidding me?
Oh, gee. I can totally relate.
For Pete's sakes.
Yeah. I get overwhelmed from my cats meowing at me in another language. So I can totally relate to that.
And that's what it's like. And you're just like,
Really?
Really? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, I would gladly give up that. And that's the stuff that you have to think about. Like, you don't really have, I don't really have a choice. Like, you know, great example is how I said when I was in Napier, I needed to get away and go on vacation. And I left more stressed out than ever. It was so stressful, like being in that Airbnb. You don't get to pick and choose.
Yeah.
When these things come up. So. So yeah, I mean,
yeah, it,
this is what I can do, and you know, if we could swap, I would. So you can have it for a little bit. I gotta take a little break.
Yeah, but I can imagine how it would be. Yeah, I can totally see what you mean about it. It's just like a lot sometimes to have that kind of extra thing going on when, yeah, as you're saying, there's plenty of living people out there who need, you know, love and attention.
Some support. Yeah, they need a lot of support. There's so many things going on. And I mean, New Zealand there's a lot of stuff happening that the living people need some support and help. And so having this ability is literally another complexity to my life. But I do have no regrets. Like this is, not regrets, but I'm not angry. I can see, hear, and communicate if I want with spirits. This is what I have. Yeah. And it's fine. And maybe the fact that I can do this maybe shaped a bit of who I am, and I'm pretty okay with myself. So yeah, I don't celebrate it, but I'm okay with it.
Thank you, Genevieve, for sharing your story with us. We hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks for listening to Ghost Stories Aotearoa. If you enjoyed this episode, hit the subscribe button to be notified when our next episode drops. Ghost Stories Aotearoa is produced by Spectre Media and hosted by me, Lisette Prende, with music by James from Dr. Bad Film, a podcast about bad movies. If you have a ghost story you'd like to share with us, please get in touch at ghoststoriesaotearoa@gmail.com. Tune in again next week for Ghost Stories Aotearoa. That is, if you dare.